Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheepfold. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. What a beautiful thing, the protection of Christ for his sheep.
Pastor Brett Metters says the Good Shepherd's promise of security is for all who enter in.
And by the way, this is where Jesus' exclusivity, I am the way, the truth, the life, no man comes to the Father but by me.
Using sheep and shepherd analogies relevant to the people of that day, Jesus had much to share about God's plan for salvation in John chapter 10. As Pastor Brett Metter reflects on the illustrations Jesus gave, we'll learn how to ensure we're part of the flock, what predators we should watch for, and the benefits of sticking with the shepherd. Glad you're along for today's word.
John chapter 10. We've already done some work here as we've been going through the great I am statements. We had, of course, the I am the good shepherd and I am the door. Both are tucked away in this chapter, as it is this chapter of the shepherd, Jesus, the good shepherd. Chapter 9, we saw Jesus, of course, rejected by the Pharisees, the chief priests, the scribes, and even the blind man, the poor blind man that was healed. They ended up booting him out of the temple. He was no longer able to go and worship. He was excommunicated because he was a believer in Jesus, which is really something that they wanted to kill him, actually, which is kind of interesting. But Jesus is now, no doubt, coming and going in and out of Jerusalem as he's doing his ministry there. And have you ever wondered, what is the gate that Jesus would be going in and out of the most? It was most likely, as he was staying in Bethany, he would come over the Mount of Olives, and you wouldn't necessarily go through the east gate, because that was a whole different story, kind of a, and it's closed up today. But he would go through the sheep gate. And if you go directly below this archaeologically, you'll find the remains of the ancient sheep gate that Jesus actually would have gone through. But it was also called the lion's gate, which is kind of interesting. I find that ironic that the sheep gate is also called the lion's gate. Well, which one is it, the lion or the sheep? But isn't it interesting that Jesus is both the lion of the tribe of Judah, but also the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world? I find that great. Like, that's an ironic. I wonder if the Jews kind of go, why is that the lion gate and sometimes called the sheep gate? And the answer, Jesus. It's always the answer. Jesus is always the right answer. In this chapter, we're going to see illustrations that would have been well known to the Jews as Jesus is going through the sheep gate. This is where they would bring the sheep to go through, to bring them to the temple for the sacrificial offering to the Lord there on the Temple Mount. So it figures that Jesus would talk about being the good shepherd right here in Jerusalem, right at this gate. And he's gonna use imagery, the shepherd, the sheepfold, the door, the porter, which is the doorkeeper, the robber and the thief, along with the hireling. These are all things that the Jews would have totally known about. It'd be like if you, were gonna go to Texas, you might talk about cattle and horses. If you went to Southern California, you might talk about surfing and sunshine. And that's what's going on here. Jesus, shepherding is a common thing. In fact, your measure of wealth in Bible times had to do with how many sheep you had. Remember, the Bible says Job had 14,000 sheep, which meant he was extremely wealthy. Solomon had 120,000 sheep just when he was dedicating the temple. That's how many he slaughtered, 120,000 sheep. That's a lot of lamb chops, to say the least. But as Jesus spoke about sheep, the Jews would have been sort of familiar, more than maybe even we are, about the idea of the sheep, the sheepfold. It was directly in the Jewish Bible, a prophecy about sheep. Examples in stories, Moses was a shepherd, David was a shepherd. Of course, Jesus being the son of David makes for a perfect analogy. The purpose of the sheepfold, and all that, it had to do with the community as they would bring their sheep all into the same sheepfold at night. These are all things they would have understood, and how would they, separate the sheep and stuff like that. Let's take a look. Jesus is going to refer to all that in our text here. John chapter 10, verse 1 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay, so what's this? This is important to know. Jesus spoke about the sheep, that they would come to this place, the sheepfold, and that's how they would separate sheep. At the daytime, they'd separate them, but they'd bring them all into safety. Now, if you're in Jerusalem or in a bigger city, bigger town, it would be a bigger sheepfold. And the sheepfold would have a door and would also have a porter, which is kind of interesting. It would be sort of like a doorkeeper. He wouldn't be a shepherd. He'd be a doorkeeper, which is kind of interesting. Now, what's the difference between that and any other sheepfold? Well, there were other sheepfolds that would be a little less formal, more rudimentary, piles of rocks with sticks and stuff that they would out in the wilderness. They would have little sheepfolds that sometimes the shepherd wouldn't come into the main town, but stay out kind of in the wilderness, but go into the sheepfold, and there would be an opening where the shepherd himself would be the door. So there's an interesting thing here, because you might be saying, Brett, is Jesus the door of the sheepfold, or is he not? Is there a literal door? Well, the answer is yes and yes. Depends on which sheepfold you're talking about. So the purpose of the sheepfold was for safety, to make sure the flock was together in the right place with the right shepherd and safe from predators, thieves, and robbers. That's the sheepfold, a place of safety. And then how would they, in the morning time, separate their sheep, pull out the right sheep for each shepherd? Well, that's verse 3. It says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. When my sisters were working as tellers at young ages, they graduated from high school early, and so they both got good jobs before while other kids were finishing high school. They got some good jobs as bank tellers, but one of the things, from time to time, they'd run across, you know, some counterfeit bills. But I always find it interesting, they would never teach the tellers how to really spot as much a counterfeit bill. They didn't have to, because really the feel was so different. It was all in the feel. You could feel a counterfeit. If you're one who handles the real money all day long and all of a sudden a counterfeit comes through, there's a weight and a sense, a feel of the paper and all that stuff, even the ink. That's oftentimes the case. And so that's how they would spot them. In the same way, hopefully you and I are so familiar with the voice of the shepherd that we're not going to be duped by any other voice. Have you noticed some of the stories out there about the, you know, AI, how they're able to grab, you know, grandma's voice off her Facebook page, anything that's got her voice on it, and then people will put together a phone call from grandma, you know, basically their voice transferred into grandma's voice. If there's enough audio of grandma, then you can sort of make this where it sounds like you're talking to grandma. It's a total scam right now, so be careful. It may not be grandma anymore. It's even more deceptive than ever. People are getting scammed. But here in the old days, when Jesus is talking about this, the sheep knew the real shepherd's voice. There would be others that would come and try to call out the sheep, but they couldn't. The key is for you to be so familiar with the voice of the shepherd. And you say, well, Brett, what if it's as tricky as today with AI? And what if it sounds like Jesus, but it really isn't? Well, that's when you're so familiar. You know, we had a person, you know, who tried to imitate me. This happens all the time with our staff. They get emails and messages and stuff. Pastor Brett's texting one of the staff, hey, I need some iTunes gift cards. Can you go buy 25 $500 iTunes gift cards? I'm going to give them away, and I need you to go get them today, Pastor Brett. But the reason they get found out is they use language that I would never use. Like, this is Reverend Brett Metter, you know, or something like that. You know, they'll say something kind of religious, weird, and our staff's like, oh, I sense a little bit of a scam here. That's what the key is. You need to know Jesus so well, you and I, the shepherd, our good shepherd, that we're not duped by the robber or the thief. And they're getting creative these days, both in, you know, scams online, but even more so spiritually, trying to draw you away from the good shepherd. They would know the shepherd's voice. And by the way, it often wasn't just his voice. It could be a song. This is something we see in the Old Testament, but the sheep would hear the shepherd singing a song, and the sheep would then follow. So what a cool imagery there. The stranger, they would not follow. I hope that's true for you and for me. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake to them. You know, you say, well, Brett, that's pretty simple. Yeah, but we can look in hindsight. Brad, I thought you said, John, we don't see the parables in there, and here's a parable. Well, interesting, a little bit of an unfortunate translation there. The word's not really parable. The Greek word there is paroimia, which is just a saying out of something of the usual course deviating from the usual manner of speaking. In other words, not a parable literally, but just he's speaking kind of in sort of cryptic different ways. It might even be better translated as a proverb, not as much as a parable. Some of your newer translations give it a different word there. But it's more of a proverb that Jesus is speaking is the idea here. So they didn't yet understand what he was saying. And this is where he kind of explains it, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheepfold, of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Okay, so we looked at this. Jesus is the door. I'm not going to go over all that again, but what a beautiful thing, the protection of Christ for his sheep. That's part of the deal. But we also saw the exclusivity. You have to go through that door if you're one of his sheep. If you're not one of his sheep, you don't go through that door. So that's why you got to choose the correct door. And by the way, this is where Jesus' exclusivity, I am the way, the truth, the life, no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is always very exclusive about who really holds the truth. Today, people like to challenge that. Oh, there's many paths, and Jesus was just a good teacher, but he was not God in the flesh and stuff like that. As soon as you're talking about that, you're talking about a different Jesus that's not the real door. It's a fake door. And by the way, some of the biggest denunciations and punishments listed in the Bible are for those that the Bible calls false teachers or false prophets. So that's something important to understand. It's interesting, you know, in Nehemiah chapter 3, the gates of the city of Jerusalem are listed there, but only one would have no locks and no bars. Can you guess which gate of the city had no locks and no bars? It was the sheep gate, interestingly enough, where you and I are invited through the open but narrow door. Anybody can go through that door if they so choose. But that door will be shut someday. That's what we learned when we saw Jesus as the door as it goes. Well, John chapter 10, verse 10 goes on. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Abundant life. Now, if you're talking about the sheep vernacular here, what makes a sheep, a lamb, have an abundant life? How does a lamb live large? What's bling for a sheep? You know, the reason I say that is because a lot of people, I think, wrongly take this verse and think, well, Jesus came to have abundant life. And then, man, you're faith teacher, you know, people. The name it and claim it, blab it and grab it people, if you know what I'm talking about. Like, you know, the Kenneth Copelands and those guys, you know, the faith guys. They all, you kind of will quote this verse, he wants to have abundant life. And so you're going to have victory and you're going to be wealthy and all this stuff, which sadly, none of that really worked with Jesus, the Apostle Paul, Peter, or anybody else in the New Testament. Like none of them were healthy, wealthy, and wise as far as living large and bling and all that. That's just false teaching, the whole prosperity thing. The Lord might prosper you, and God bless you if you are one of those people. You're probably more in a dangerous place than most people. But really, if you're in poverty, the Lord's still your good shepherd. What does a sheep need to have abundant life? Well, that goes back to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A sheep will want for nothing. He'll lead me beside still waters, lead me to green pastures, restores my soul. Like that's what abundant life is for the sheep of Jesus, the sheepfold. So the Bible actually promises that you and I will have difficult days, tough times, but Jesus is our strength and our shepherd and our protector. Now, because of the connotations with the prosperity teachers and the prosperity gospel, we forget that God really does want us to have life and life abundantly. So there's people that take it too far, but then there's people that ignore that Jesus came to make you a sheep that is having that abundant life, living free from sin, not getting tangled up in the thicket, not going astray. He wants you to follow the good shepherd and he'll lead you beside still waters and green pastures. And that's what the Lord made us to do. He made us to be those who are sheep following his leadership. And if you're doing that, holiness does kind of lead to happiness. When you do the right thing and follow the good shepherd, and when you do what you were created for, to give God glory and honor and, you know, for his pleasure, we were created. If you're living for that, then you'll find abundant life in a way that might even be in spite of your circumstances, which is kind of beautiful. There was a baby camel. Mommy, why do we have such big eyelashes? Well, it helps us during sandstorms, honey, to keep the sand out of our eyes. Mommy, why do we have such big wide feet? Well, we walk on the sand, and when we walk through the desert, our feet stay on top of the sand so that we don't sink through. Mommy, why do we have big humps on our back? Well, so that we can travel long distances, and we have ways of storing water for long distances. We can go through the dry desert without drinking. Mommy, yes, dear, why are we in the zoo? The Lord has equipped you and I to go places no one else can go because we're followers of Christ. Jesus is our good shepherd. In Christ, you and I can be. We don't have to go sin. We don't have to go live in the zoo and do what everybody else does and keeps us locked down. You know, sin leads to bondage. But when you're walking in Christ, you have life and you have it more abundantly. And I think you're able to do what you actually were created to do, to please God the way he made you and to really enjoy that. That's the truth of this story. So don't oversell the abundant life. Oh man, you're gonna be rich and wealthy and that whole blab it and grab it sort of faith healing. Watch out for that, but don't sell it short. The Lord does want to bring you as a sheep into his sheepfold where you're satisfied and blessed. So there we have it. We go continue in verse 12. So we've got, I am the door, but I am also the good shepherd, verses 11 and 14. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Don't want to forget that part. So the door, the good shepherd, two I am statements in one chapter, pretty cool. Well, we go on there in verse 12. It says, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. In Jesus's illustration here, who do you think the hireling would be a type of in this story, anybody? Yeah, the Pharisees. The Pharisees and the false, what we might call false shepherds. They're just hirelings. They're there in it for themselves. They're in it for the money. Boy, that was true of that day. Caiaphas, the high priest, all the way down through the whole Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, Sadducees, the Herodians, the scribes. The whole thing had really lost any real spiritual significance. They became just sort of hirelings in this sense of the word. But Jesus demonstrated a higher level of shepherding, not a hireling, but a shepherd that's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. That's the most important part of this narrative, I think, to know that he's the shepherd that laid down his life. The other ones, they're false shepherds who, at the first sign of danger, run for the hills. There are shepherds today, I think, that are just hirelings, under shepherds, ministries and ministers that are kind of just in it for themselves, serving their own purposes. And I think that's always very sad. Pastors should be there to fend off the wolves. I think that's an important thing. It's important to understand a good pastor will stand and not flee or not be apathetic toward wolves. That's part of the thing that I see is it's kind of like pastors today are not watching and warning the flock. And I think that's a big mistake, especially in dangerous times. We're living in days where there's a lot of false teaching and a lot of dangerous sort of, you know, notions out there, you know, worldviews. And I think as pastors, you're supposed to watch and warn the flock. It's not something I think. It's Acts 20, but just a reminder, Paul told the pastors and elders there of Ephesus church. He said, take heed therefore to yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. The word there is episkopos. Overseer is sometimes translated as bishop, but the leading governing body of the church is the elders, the overseers. To what are they supposed to do? Feed the church of God. How do you feed the church? You got to give them the word. The word. The church is starving today. That's one of the first things we're supposed to do as shepherds, that the Lord has made us, you know, under shepherds. He's the good shepherd, we're the under shepherds, and the Holy Ghost has made pastors. They're supposed to be overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Man, that's a big thing to think about. If you're a pastor, you gotta say, man, I gotta take this job seriously because Jesus purchased the congregation with his own blood. We're supposed to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves, of the elders, of the pastors, of your own selves men will arise speaking perverse things. We have that today in the droves. Pastors speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. If you see a pastor who's trying to draw people to themselves and not to Christ, then you already have a huge problem. Therefore, watch. What are we supposed to do? Bishops, elders, pastors, watch like a watchman on the wall, like a guard, like a security guard. Watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I, Paul the Apostle, cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. There's a watching, a warning, but there's also compassion because he's shedding tears. He loves the congregation. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. That last line is one of the signs of a guy who's not a pastor, but maybe a wolf, is when he's coveting the people's money. Gold and silver and apparel and all that stuff. If that's what the pastor's all about, and boy, I'm surprised people will follow these guys that are constantly asking for money, you know, making up things. If you plant your seed of faith and give me your $1,000, man, you'll get this and you'll get that. And, you know, it's like totally ridiculous. I hope that y'all are really wise to that. I think most people are now. It was in the 80s, I think. Was that the peak of the name it, claim it, blab it and grab it? It was horrible when that was happening. It's still happening today. But most people are wising up, at least I hope. But anyway, not to come to rip you off, but to watch and care for the church of Jesus Christ.
Pastor Brett Metter with some good encouragement from today's word for finding abundant life under the leading of the Good Shepherd, while acknowledging the false shepherd's efforts to lead us astray. And you're listening to Today's Word. In just a moment, Pastor Brett will join me, so I hope you'll stick around for that. But first, Today's Word is the radio ministry of Athey Creek Church, just south of Portland, Oregon, where Pastor Brett Metter is the senior pastor. Our vision is to proclaim the hope of salvation to help people know Jesus through careful study of the Bible. We invite you to find out more by going to todayswordradio.com. If you miss any portion of our message, you'll find all of Pastor Brett's messages online at todayswordradio.com. All right, Pastor Brett has joined me now. And as we've been going through the book of John and looking at the Lord as our good shepherd, it's great to know that if we lean on him and trust him, he'll lead and guide us down the best paths for our lives. Brett, what thoughts would you like to share with our listeners about that?
Thanks, Kurt. I really believe it's important for us to recognize that we have many voices chiming into our lives about, you know, what we should put our trust in. Some people would say government, or some people might say your families, or even there's a movement, you're enough, trust yourself, and these kinds of things. But really, all of those things will come up short. We really, really just need to focus on what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And, you know, we're told in Hebrews chapter 10, you know, to encourage one another. And it says, all the more as you see the day approaching or drawing near. And that is the day of the Lord. I think the closer we get to the end, the more of this kind of thinking and encouragement we need. So really, that's the goal here, is just to point people in the direction of trusting in the Lord, not in yourself, not in even this world, but truly just in the Lord.
All right, Brett. That is a great reminder. And I want to mention that if you'd like to share how these messages have impacted you, we'd love to hear from you. And we have a special toll-free phone number that we invite you to call and share your story. Here's the number, 1-877-772-1113. That's 877-772-1113. Or you can share your story at todayswordradio.com. Well, that's all the time we have. I hope you can be back as we continue looking at Jesus, our Good Shepherd, and see how his sacrificial love for us is something we can absolutely trust. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in Westland, Oregon.